It's time for What's Up with Opposition Deputy Leader Paula Bennett.
Morena, Paula, how are you?
Good morning, I'm very good, thank you.
It's getting a little bit crisper in these mornings that we chat to you now. The season's changing a wee bit, but...
Yeah, I like that though.
Yeah.
But I reckon we're going to come back with a scorcher in March.
Yes, I think we might do. Hey, we've got some big topics to talk about this morning. One that we've talked about quite a bit with you because it is obviously an ongoing thing. These are the serious fraud office investigations that are going on at the moment. So the National Party is working quite hard to separate itself from the four people who are facing serious fraud office charges over National Party donations made in 2017 and 2018. However, Jamie Lee Ross seems to be working quite hard to make sure that this stays an issue on everybody's radar. What's your party doing to push back against Jamie Lee Ross? Is he going to continue to be an issue for you throughout this election year, do you think?
I think that his actions actually speak for themselves and for him, actually. So, I mean, that will, you know, it's before the courts, it'll go through that. What I'd say is that there's one person, you know, that ex-National Party Member of Parliament that's actually being charged, and no one from the party itself. And I think that speaks volumes, and he can kind of try and spin his own sort of interpretation of that, but SFO have looked into it and they've laid charges and they've laid them against him, and I think that speaks volumes.
So some commentators are suggesting that we should be looking at state funding of elections. This is a topic we've sort of talked around before, but I haven't actually asked you directly what you think about that idea. Lots of European countries use that model. Do you think this is something that could be a solution to deal with some of this kind of, I guess, murkiness that we're seeing in how our donations are made to our political parties in New Zealand, Paula?
Yeah, we already have part state funding. So you get a proportion that you use for broadcasting. From memory, it's about $4 million that's distributed amongst parties. I would worry about state funding as in new parties coming in and what that would mean for them and how they might get access to funding, because I kind of like that we've got a dynamic environment out there in MMP. Other parties come up and try and put themselves forward, and we can see that at the moment.
What are you envisaging could be the issue there, sorry, Paula?
Well, they may not get funding, and it's really hard to distribute to potential new parties, and I think that it could askew that it's so much in favour of those that are currently there. Also, and you know, like, we have a lot of people that give a bit, and Labour has the same, the Greens have the same, and actually that is predominantly how national, you know, and how parties are funded via donations. And I think that's kind of good. You know, it means that people are, you know, they might be giving $20, they might be giving $100. They are recorded. I mean, we do have some of the most open. And I think that what the charges that we're currently seeing, whether it's with New Zealand First or whether it's with Jamie Lee Ross, is that actually our system does work and they do get caught and charged. You know, we take it really seriously that we do, you know, we don't have a corrupt system. So I would just be very cautious about heading down the sort of state-funded and what that means and whether or not it really is good for our democracy.
What are some other solutions that you think we could be looking into? Because obviously this is something that, as you're saying, we are a very transparent, or we pride ourselves on being a very transparent democracy, but obviously we are seeing some issues at the moment and there is things that need to be changed and tightened. What are some other solutions that you think could be explored?
But Rachel, I'd argue that actually they've got caught. So, you know, because, you know, you don't change the law. You know, which is what we hear from New Zealand First, and then what we heard from the Prime Minister immediately was obviously the law's not working because because New Zealand First are being charged. Well, it's like, well, actually, maybe the law is working. They just haven't obeyed it, potentially. And as a consequence, they're being caught and charged. So, you know, if the law was being followed, then we wouldn't be in this thing. So we don't just change law because some people don't like it and have been caught misusing it or abusing it in this case, potentially. I have to be careful, you know, before the court. So, you know, I just think this immediately leaping to let's change the law. It's like, well, I get caught drink driving and I don't like that I've been caught, so let's now change the limits. Well, it doesn't work that way. You knew what the law was. You've actually tried to work around it. You've been caught. Is it the problem with the law, or is it the problem with that you were actually not obeying it?
Well, speaking of laws and things changing as well, Simon Bridges had said that if elected, the National Party would look at exploring a policy which would be based on amendments to Australia's Migration Act, which were made in 2014, which allows for people to have their visas cancelled on character grounds. Now, basically, the law seems to already exist, except for this character grounds clause. Now, the Prime Minister has said this is something she fiercely disagrees with, and some commentators are saying it's beginning to look a bit like a tit-for-tat policy. What are your thoughts on this, Paula?
Yeah, I just think that, you know, we certainly are seeing problems in this country, and, you know, it is predominantly for those that have been in Australia for 10 years or longer, and it would be the same here. So what we're seeing is that that is not actually, you know, working. And we're just saying, shouldn't it be reciprocal? So if there are people in Australia, Australians in New Zealand that have broken the law of serious crimes, then maybe they should be deported back as well. And I think it's only fair it's happening there. Why shouldn't it happen here?
Do you mean deported of serious crimes in, from things that they've done while they live in New Zealand, or is this from...
While they live in New Zealand. And we don't do that. We certainly don't do it for those that have been living here for 10 years or longer. Australia does for New Zealanders, and we just think it should be reciprocal.
Well, do you not think, though, that if somebody's lived in New Zealand for 10 years or longer, that that is very much their home and perhaps the responsibility for, I guess, dealing with whatever crime that they perhaps commit does fall on the country that they're living in as well to deal with?
Well, if they haven't got New Zealand citizenship, then perhaps they should go back to the country where they do have citizenship, is what we're saying. And that's what Australia does, and we think that it's fair that that should happen here as well.
Are you a bit worried that people might see this as a vindictive policy or quite like a... It feels, I think, the tit-for-tat that people have been throwing around in the media a little bit at the moment seems to get at a bit like, well, you know, an eye for an eye, that kind of vengeance-y sort of language is maybe a little bit alarming for people to hear. Are you worried about some of the connotations of that?
No, I wouldn't. I don't see it in that light. I can understand that some others might, but we certainly don't see it like that. We just want to make sure that we've got, you know, policies here that are fair for New Zealanders, and as a consequence of that, you know, we just think, why shouldn't we have the same rules that Australia does for New Zealanders living over there?
Well, let's talk a little bit about vaping, because we've seen some big changes recently about how vaping is going to be legislated in New Zealand, specifically looking at regulating age and advertising. Now, what are your thoughts around vaping? Do you think it's a useful tool for people who want to quit smoking? Are you happy to see that there's a bit of regulation coming in the industry?
Oh, I'm thrilled to see regulation coming in. We had all the work done. We're ready to implement it, and then that's gone on hold for over 2 years. So, you know, I think it should have been brought in 2 years ago. I'm pleased that it's brought in now. You know, I do see it as a useful tool, and there's, you know, some research, although it's all very early, so I get a bit apprehensive about it. For those that are trying to quit tobacco smoking, to actually use vaping. But vaping is not harmless, and I think it's in that tone that I like the restrictions on advertising, on age to purchase. Certainly hear enough horror stories within schools, and my own kids kind of tell me about it. So, you know, I really do think that we needed to see those restrictions come in, and I'm pleased that they are.
Is there anything that you would like to see come in that hasn't perhaps been addressed already?
I'm not the expert in the area, but what I did like about it the most was the age restriction and the advertising. I mean, you must have seen it as well. It's, you know, you're kind of really bombarded with it. And where it is, and I was talking to a student the other day that was at club day and O Week, and they were saying, wow, there was a whole vaping stall there that, you know, we're promoting it to students. And I just think, you know, really pulling back on those sorts of restrictions. I mean, you wouldn't see a tobacco stand, so why should you see a vaping one, particularly, going for young people in that university context as well.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Paula. We really appreciate it. It's always good to speak to you, and we'll speak to you again in a couple of weeks' time.
Great. Thanks so much, Rachel.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
That was What's Up with Opposition Deputy Leader Paula Bennett.